pushed you to buy it. 651-641-1071. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on MyTalk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. Everything Entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Traynor.
Well, hello.
Hello. 651-641-1071. What is a thing that you thought you'd never buy? Like, you for sure were never going to buy this thing. And then there was a pandemic. And you were like, well, you know, you only live once. Maybe I should buy this thing. 651-641-1071. Bradley, does anything jump to your mind?
Well, I mean, I've had several pandemic purchases. I think probably the one that I did not foresee, but finally pulled the trigger and bought in the last year was a vacuum sealer. Oh my God. And oh. I'm so glad I did. I can't recommend it highly enough.
I cannot believe you waited on that.
I know.
That's like a useful purchase.
It is very much a useful purchase. Mm-hmm.
You needed what?
I needed it, like, because I like to freeze stuff. God, that sounds so sad. But
I like to freeze things. A freezer.
No, but I purchase a lot of bulk items because I like to buy in bulk, because the pandemic taught me I got to buy in bulk.
Toilet paper, et cetera.
To the Costco's and I buy in bulk, and then I divvy it up and I vacuum seal a crap out of it. But it's one of those things that for years I was like, I don't need that. I don't really need that. Just get a freezer bag. It makes a world of difference. Can I just tell you, in the few months that I've had it, it has paid for itself.
Oh, I love the vacuum sealer. 651-641-1071. What's the thing you thought you'd never buy, but then a pandemic hit, and so you bought it? Holly, who do we have on the line?
Let's start with Kari.
Hi, Kari. Kari, what is the thing you'd never thought you'd buy, but then the pandemic hit, and so you bought it?
I bought an above-ground pool.
Oh, nice.
Okay, you and so many others. Are you so happy you did it, though?
So we called it our Jerry Springer pool. And I was literally in it every single day.
So you've gotten the value out of it.
100%. And we threw it in the garbage, and we're going to buy a new one this spring.
Okay, so what kind did you get? Did you get one of those, like, Initech rubber ones that you inflate the outer ring and then you fill it up?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Okay. And it comes with a filter, so the water stays clean. The only thing that isn't included is the cover. You have to get the cover, and that keeps it warm. So it's key.
Good to know.
All right, that's
See,
good to know.
Now everybody knows. Oh, I love it that you threw it away and you're going to get another one. Thanks for your call, Kari. I'm not kidding you. So many people I know got those ding-dang above-ground pools and floated around all summer long in those.
Well, and you know what that also reminded me of? And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. And I know you can because you bought one too. Those space heaters outdoor. Did you guys buy a patio heater?
Oh, heck yes. Yeah. Heck yes. We bought one of those and we bought a propane fueled fire pit.
Oh, sure.
So that we could extend our outside time, because that's how we're seeing people. And guess what's going to get fired up again this weekend?
Mm-hmm. Well, you won't even need it this weekend. It's going to be 60 degrees. You won't need no fire.
But come, like, evening time, you know, if you want to just, like, sit and watch the sunset, you might want to fire something up. 651-641-1071. What's the thing you thought you'd never buy, but the pandemic pushed you to buy it? Who do we have on the line now, Holly?
Let's go to Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Lisa, what's that thing that you never thought you'd buy, but the pandemic forced you?
Well, I bought a townhome.
Wow. That's kind of a big deal.
In Florida?
Yeah. We've been looking, my husband and I, for years, something to finally retire into, but we're like a decade away still. But when the pandemic hit, the prices dropped in Florida because the pandemic numbers were pretty high there, and we could finally afford it. So we just pulled the trigger, and now we're renting it out with Airbnb and all that kind of stuff until we can afford to retire. But yeah,
good for you. Congrats.
Okay, that's genius. Congratulations.
Now you have a place to whisk away to.
And feel free to send us there. Thanks.
Absolutely. Come on down.
Thanks, Lisa. Have a great day and congratulations. That's awesome. 651-641-1071. What's the thing you never thought you'd buy, but the pandemic pushed you? Who do we have next?
Charles is next.
Hello, Charles. Charles, what's that thing you bought?
Oh, my God. I never in a million years thought I would get one, but we got a bidet.
Wow. I was not expecting
that. I won't live without it.
So what was this, just like a late night Instagram, or like you were just like flipping around the internet and saw an ad, or like what prompted the bidet?
What was it about the pandemic that inspired you to get the bidet?
The lack of toilet paper.
Oh, duh. I didn't even think about that.
Oh my gosh.
You use a lot less, plus they're just amazing. Heated seats, heated water, air dryer. This thing's amazing.
Oh my God, can I ask, how much does it, something like that set you back?
It was under $300.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No way.
Yeah. Amazon, for sure.
Now, does it hook onto your existing toilet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a seat that hooks on and plugs in and has water going to it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh,
but it was
my
like
word.
15
well,
minutes to install it, and it changed my life. Get one. They're awesome.
All right.
Thank you, Charles.
Thanks, Charles.
Again, that was a delight. I really liked the question, how much does one of those set you back?
Well, yeah.
Do we have any other callers, Holly?
Yeah, Mary Jane's on the line.
All right, perfect. Mary Jane will have the last word. Hey, Mary Jane, what is the thing you never thought you'd buy, but the pandemic forced you?
Boats.
Oh, like a yacht, or
it's a deck boat. So the best part is it looks like a speedboat on the outside, but on the inside it's like a pontoon. So you can fit like 8 people in this thing. It's got a really fast motor. You can do some tubing. There's lots of cocktails.
Oh my gosh, wow. I've never seen
What's
one of
it
these.
Called? A deck boat?
Yeah, it's a hurricane deck boat.
Huh. Well, look at you. I bet you're excited to get back on that thing. Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right. When we
I've
come
never
back,
heard of a hurricane deck boat, but that's a thing.
Neither have I. Yeah. I know. Now I'm looking at it. It looks kind of awesome. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, it's Friday. And you know what Friday means?
Cheat day.
It means we're going to cheat. We got a little something to nibble on, and we're going to do that after this on My Talk 107.1. What do we do on Fridays, y'all?
Eat!
It's the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hey.
And on Fridays, don't sound so excited. It's what we call cheat day.
It's what we call cheat day.
Dirty, rotten cheater.
Cheat day taste test.
Stick this in your mouth.
Well, we're gonna.
What is this thing that you gave me?
Okay, so, like, you can't read?
What if I can't? What if I can't? You tell me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that was awkward. Sorry. I didn't mean to. No, what the listener can't see, dear listener, is that I provided to Colleen and Holly something called Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Mallow Top. Marshmallow-flavored cream with milk chocolate, naturally and artificially flavored. Basically, you guys, it's a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, but the top half is a marshmallow topping. It really just looks like a chocolate top, like a white chocolate.
That's why I'm, well...
Is this special for the
Easter
season?
Yeah, because of marshmallow and Easter. So this is an Easter experience, only available for Easter, because it's Easter experience.
Did you say Easter?
Yeah.
Okay. If you guys, I don't care if you guys want to take a bite while I tell you this. I'm not. I won't be mad at you. I don't smell a lot of mallow. Are you getting a whiff of mallow?
I smell peanut butter.
That's what I smell mostly. So the reason why I feel like this might be okay. Sometimes, when we do s'mores rather than do a Hershey's bar, we will do a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. And that with the melty marshmallow is yummy. And that's what I'm hoping this will give me the vibe of, as it were. Your thoughts as you've eaten?
It tastes like a peanut butter cup.
Mm-hmm.
I got a faint whiff in the back of my throat.
Lucky.
Of marshmallow. But it's not forward at all. In fact, mm-mm. I don't know that you'd have a very easy time figuring out what it is. It just tastes like a peanut butter cup.
It really does not taste different. Here, I'm going to try something. Oh, I don't like it. Ooh, no, I don't like it.
It doesn't taste different, but you don't like it?
No, I right when I said I don't like it, I was starting to get the a different flavor. Like, it starts tasting like a peanut butter cup, and you're really excited about it. And then about halfway through, all your dreams are taken away from you. Because it doesn't finish like a peanut butter cup, so you don't get like that like real chocolatey. Okay, I'm going to try something else. I'm going to eat it upside down and put the mallow in my tongue first.
I couldn't even taste the marshmallow element.
I think it's very weak.
It just tastes like sugar to me.
And not good. It's just not good.
Because the problem is with the marshmallow top, it has a waxy texture.
Mm-hmm.
And the peanut butter cup kind of has a chalky chocolate texture.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm mad about it because it has two of the things. That, everything's terrible. It has two of the things you love. And then another thing that you love, but you don't usually eat with those other two things. And then it really just is disappointing, kind of sad. Ugh, no.
Yeah, I think if I put this in my mouth and didn't know any better, I would have a hard time knowing it wasn't just a regular peanut butter cup.
So then I wonder if that's the reason why it's tasting so funky to me.
But from the beginning, it does taste
like a peanut butter cup.
This is the problem that I have with most special versions of things, unless it's like completely off the wall. They just never go all in. Like, it's not going to have like a ton of marshmallow because they don't want to give you too strong a flavor. I feel like this happens all the time with like potato chip flavors. And we'll try them and be like, well, that doesn't really taste very.
So here's what I'm wondering, or what I'm learning, that we all learned at the same time. So you know how we've talked about, like, or this just came out in a news, I don't know if it wasn't news, but whatever. You know how every time they roll out a new Oreo flavor, we're like, what's with the new Oreo flavors? Well, the thing that they're onto at Oreo is that if they roll out those new flavors, they're not necessarily looking to sell a bunch of those new flavors. It's that when the new flavors come out, people start talking about Oreos, and it just makes people want their regular Oreos.
Yeah.
So then they end up selling a ton more plain regular Oreos.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that same effect isn't true for some of these other kind of novelty things.
Yeah, we know that, like, in April we're going to get a peanut butter cup, all peanut butter.
Right.
Which, by all accounts, is not all that exciting, according to early reviews. Which, again, it's not a surprise, right?
Well, because if you want a peanut butter cup, you want a peanut butter cup. You know, you want the thing that you love, the way that it tastes, and it's good. Right?
You don't want the novelty.
Yeah, well, I know some people, like, for example, I think of the dark chocolate peanut butter cups. Some people really like those. So I know that there are people who like the individual different things. I'm hard-pressed to think of a snack item where the, like, special thing I actually like better than the original thing.
I can't think of one. Yeah, I just want my original thing.
Yeah.
Should we go around the room and rate these?
Yes.
Who wants to go first?
You go.
I'm going to give it a 1.
Oh, my God.
I am, because it's, I know 1 is usually reserved for it gave you a foul experience.
Yeah.
That was a mildly foul experience for me. It wasn't a 0, but it wasn't.
A 1.
I just want a regular peanut butter cup.
I'm just going to give it a, like, solid 2.5. It's, like, average in Candy World.
Solid 2.
Solid 2.5. I'd give it the little bit of an extra half because the bottom part is, you know,
what you
everything
love.
You love.
Yeah. 2.5. Holly, what about you?
I'm going to give it a nice number 2.
Ooh, yeah. A nice number 2.
It's edible.
That's about what it tasted like.
Yeah, I liked it more than you did, Colleen, but I'm not going to eat it. And it's just going to make me thirsty, so I don't really want to eat the rest
of
it.
Not
going to
eat it. No, that's actually, like, 2 and below, I'm not even going to finish it. Like, this is going to sit in the garbage.
Our good friend Panda says she likes the mallow top, but she says I think the mallow doesn't overpower the Reese's cup. It's just a light difference. Around Halloween, however, Kit Kat has Witch's Brew, which is all marshmallow flavors, and those were addicting.
Okay, so here's what I think I've also learned about myself. I don't really think I like marshmallow flavored things. I just like a marshmallow.
Yeah.
And I think it has everything.
It could be.
Well, it's the texture.
Mm-hmm.
and the flavor.
Yeah.
But if it's the flavor with no texture, I don't get excited about that.
You need that marshmallow.
I just like the marshmallow. What? I do highly recommend, though, as I said before, if you are in a place where you are making s'mores for any reason, swap out that Hershey bar with some other candy flavors. And I highly recommend peanut butter cups. So good. Just squash that between your graham crackers. Put your roasty marshmallow on there. I mean,
I generally am not a huge s'mores fan because I'm like, this is so much work. And I just would rather eat the chocolate and marshmallow separately and the graham crackers.
Yeah. And then when the marshmallow gets too toasty, it just tastes like burnt.
Well, then, people burn the marshmallow and it falls off the stick.
I don't know what to do with you people.
Yeah, I'd rather just sit at the picnic table and eat all the things one by one.
Great. When we return on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we
can't wait to party with everyone this summer.
I know, right? We've got some celebrities behaving badly. We call them D-bags. And we're going to tell you all about them when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1.
Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1, streaming live, doing everything entertainment at MyTalk1071.com. Colleen Lindstrom, I'm Bradley Trainer. And we got technical difficulties for just a moment, which hopefully we'll be able to figure out. No, unfortunately, we cannot hear you. Is your computer mic on?
Yeah, I thought, or the back of your mic on. I thought you were just enjoying my sax solo.
I know, I was like... That's going for a while.
Here's what we're going to do, a little on-air production. Bradley.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to launch you into your D-bag.
Fabulous.
Then I'm going to disconnect and reconnect from Colleen, and we're going to try it again.
Fabulous. Let's do it.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Celebrities behaving badly. D-bags, we call them. And my D-bag today is really for the benefit of one Colleen Lindstrom, which is awesome because she can't react to this story, but she will. Don't you worry. We'll make sure we give her ample opportunity to react to the story today, dear listeners, that Hilaria Baldwin, as she predicted, is now saying having two babies at the same time is so fun and cute, although there are definitely challenges. Now, until we get to hear directly from Ms. Lindstrom herself, you might remember that she predicted earlier this week that the mom of six, who just shared photos of her son, Adu, who's 5.5 months, and her newborn daughter, Lucia, are both babies at the same time. And Colleen was like, now, watch for it. You're going to, I imagine you're going to hear from Ms. Baldwin something akin to, oh, having two babies at the same time is fun and cute, but it's also kind of like having twins. And she used the term Irish twins, you know, when you have...
Okay. When...
Oh, there, I can hear you. Now?
Okay. Now I need Holly to mute her thing. There we go.
And has realized that having two small babies, quote, is so fun and cute, but there are also challenges. Like Lucia just had an explosion, and I have Eduardo rolling around, so I'm just going to lay here covered in doo-doo. She didn't say doo-doo. Entertaining until I get a genius idea how to get out of this doo-doo situation. And then she went on to say... And this is what made me think of what you predicted earlier this week, that of having her two babies at the same time, it's almost like twins.
Okay. So here's where I'm going to give her an out. Is that she said it's almost.
Wow, you're being so kind.
I am being kind, but it won't last. So,
but she did exactly what you said she was going to do.
Absolutely. So she did say almost, which is whatever. It is what it is. This is her out. But here's my advice to people who are humans. Unless you've actually had the experience that you're saying an experience is like, don't say that what you're experiencing is like another thing. Meaning, for example, in this case, unless you've raised twins, don't say the situation I'm in is like having twins.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I mean, listen.
I mean, I don't care, but I don't have children. So I understand that it would be offensive if somebody tries to compare, you know, their experience to yours if they haven't even had the experience.
Or just like, I mean, I guess like on the, like, I'm not like super, it's not, I'm not offended, but I'm a little bit like, no, girl, no.
Yeah.
No. It's really just not, it's not the same. It's a unique experience, and I want to give you that, and I want to, I see you. I see your unique experience.
Or but even if you had couched it, like, it's almost, I imagine, like, it would be, or similar.
I imagine would be helpful.
Right? Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if yeah. you're going to say something like that, couch it in the phrase of, like, I imagine this is similar to having, or almost like having twins. I don't know, of course, because I haven't had twins. I mean, generally, right. we all know enough to sort of give ourselves, you know, some semblance of distance between an experience we haven't had.
Well, and that's the thing is like yes, I get, again, I understand what she's trying to say, which is this is unique. And I want to honor the uniqueness.
But why couldn't she just say that?
Right? I don't know.
Hey, you guys, here's something I didn't plan on. Two babies at the same time doo-dooing.
Yeah. Which is...
Like, you don't need to go into, like, adventure. What it's almost like. You could have just said, this is an adventure I wasn't expecting. Although, then I would
I
say...
I knew it was going to happen.
Then also I was going to say, but you kind of planned it, because I feel like since we're all acknowledging this has to, thanks to math, be a surrogate situation, you knew that this was going to be... I mean, again, I don't know how they happened upon this journey, or what the journey was, right? Like how this child came into the world.
There's,
But one imagines there was a heads up that this was a reality going into it. Not that we can't be sympathetic.
Right.
But, I mean, one of your first headlines is how difficult it is for you to be a parent of two babies at the same time. Well, you're kind of what you signed up for.
I will tell you that there are, I'm not going to say what the theories are or what the conversations are.
Why?
Around, because I don't want to be like, some of them I do feel like, I don't know. There is, I was reading some people's comments and people are ruthless.
People are talking. Everybody's talking about it.
But people are ruthless, and there is a whole conversation going on about how this Lucia, they're what, sixth baby?
Mm-hmm.
This newest baby was designed to be a girl, meaning that they wanted another girl.
Yeah.
And that is an answer to why they chose the surrogate route, why they chose this moment, etc.
But all the, and yeah, like I understand why you don't want to make it sound like a, well, first of all, we don't know. So, like,
right.
we don't know, but you know we don't know. The other thing I would say is, like, okay, I mean, they are privileged. They have resources. That's an option.
Yep. Design away.
It's totally fine, right? But, you know, the point, I think, is, but if you're going to be willing to have two babies at the same time, I kind of feel like, you know.
Right.
You're going to deal
with. That was part of your plan.
Lots of doo-doo.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. I just don't know why anybody would want to. I don't know. That's a lot. It just seems like a lot.
That's a choice. There's a lot there.
Two babies at the same time.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a choice for me.
Well, right.
And then you just deal with the poop coming your way, you know?
It just let it fly.
You just let it fly. You got to go with it. All right. Would you like to know who my D-bag is?
But of course.
Chrishell Staus.
What is a Chrishell Staus?
You know what a Chrishell Staus is, because we talked all about her. She's that Selling Sunset lady who got all like loose-lipped after her divorce from Justin Hartley from This Is Us. And then she was on Dancing with the Stars. Well, she started dating Kyo Motsepe from Dancing with the Stars. And I don't know, because I didn't watch that season, because I didn't care enough. If he was her partner on Dancing with the Stars, he must have been. He must have been the one that she was paired with on Dancing with the Stars. And then they started a romance and yada, yada, yada.
Which happens.
Well, they broke up a week ago.
Oh. Was this a publationship?
I don't know. But this is why she's not, that's not why she's my D-bag.
Oh, okay.
Because they broke up. I mean, whatever, breakups happen. It's her reaction to the breakup. That is the piece that is making her my D-bag today. She wants you to know that she is off of men now for a while. She's just done.
She's done with
men. She's just going to be single.
Sounds very like 20-something, but sure.
Like, that's why she's my D-bag, because it's like, girl.
I'm just going to take a time, some time away from men for a while, because men are just, it's too much.
I don't believe it for a second. She's going to have a new boyfriend next week. It's all fine. Don't worry about it. But this is just like such a juvenile, and I'm not saying like you don't have that feeling when you break up with somebody. Of course you do. But you don't need to like take such a harsh stance against men because you had a breakup.
Yeah.
Like breakups are normal.
Just think it's just part of that. Like, again, haven't been single for a long time, but it's that pressure that I remember. When you're single, there is this pressure for you to couch everything in terms of like how you're dealing with either being single or looking for a relationship. Like, you should always be looking for a relationship, or you should have an excuse as to why you're not in a relationship. Right. Like, you need to have an excuse. You can't just be, right? Like, if you are like, you know what, I'm just not interested in having anyone else close to me in my life right now because I've got other things going on, that's a totally legitimate thing. But there is this pressure, I think, especially for people of her, in her line of work, right? Like, she's a celebrity-ish person. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is just like a part of the public-facing side of her. So she's got to have, like, this narrative. So this just sounds like, you know,
I'm done. I'm not dating
this anymore. Is just a storyline. This is not based in any sort of truth.
And it's ridiculous. Yeah. And I'm not having it. When we return on the Colleen and Bradley Show, let's check in with Meghan and Harry and Oprah. Let's see what they're up to. They've got a big weekend coming. And it turns out we have another trailer from their big conversation that we get to assess and critique after this on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1.
The My Talk app has everything a My Talker could want.
Sure does. A big pink play button to stream every show live.
And there's a podcast section so you can listen to all your favorite My Talk shows on demand, including My Talk exclusives like Go Deep in the Shallow and Two Fairy Godfathers.
Entertainment news. Show links.
A family vacation to Disney World.
A $10,000 trip to Rosedale.
Wait, what?
Let's see. Big pink button, podcast section, entertainment news, show links, trip to Disney World, $10,000 Rosedale shopping spree, a new Sea-Doo watercraft, a Suzuki ATV, a link to the My Talk YouTube page.
Okay, Dawn, tell me what's going on here.
It's the My Talk app $10,000 pick your prize contest. All month long, My Talk app users can register to win a daily $100 cash prize and a chance to win the grand prize, an awesome package of your choosing.
If you don't have the app, download and register now. If you do have the app, register every day to win. The My Talk app $10,000 pick your prize contest starts March 8th with $100 winners announced every day at 8:20 and 5:20.
It's the My Talk app $10,000 pick your prize contest. See the prizes and get the app today. Use My Talk keyword app.
Thank you, Holly. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Traynor.
Hi.
And I don't know if you guys heard, but this weekend, there's going to be a really big, important interview between Oprah Winfrey and...
What?
And Meghan. I know.
I had no idea. And Holly,
I've not been publicizing this.
Not at all. And Holly, I forgot to mention, there is a trailer embedded in this Daily Mail article. So if you have the ability for us to listen to it at some point, that would be
great.
Do
you want the extended clip?
I feel like we can listen. Are you guys up for a minute?
Do you think they'll swear?
I'm pretty sure she doesn't swear. Oprah, though.
Good to check, though.
I'm here
for the whole minute. Sure.
So this is another clip from the Oprah interview that's going to air on CBS this morning, or I should say the clip aired today on CBS this morning, in advance of the interview, which airs on Sunday night. And it is a two-hour event wherein the Duchess of Sussex and her husband talk about all sorts of stuff. I do want to say, I don't think we learn anything too earth-shattering in this clip, but I do find a piece of it interesting. So let's have a listen to Meghan Markle as she talks to Oprah, in this case, about an interview that she that Oprah wanted to do with Meghan a long time ago.
Well,
I'm not sure if that's what this clip is talking about.
Well, then let me make sure I find the clip.
Because
for you.
Here's one. Well, we have options. There are lots of teases. Here's the Duchess of Sussex says what it means to be able to speak for herself.
That would be a no. It should be about a minute and a half.
Yeah, this is a minute 48.
Oh, well, maybe that is it.
Well, let's hear what Megan has to say.
Yeah. Okay.
So I just want to say that I called you either February or March 2018 before the wedding, asking, would you please give me an interview? And you said, I'm sorry, it's not the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we get to sit down and have this conversation.
Yeah. Well, I remember that conversation very well. I wasn't even allowed to have that conversation with you personally. Right. There had to be people from the comp sitting there. Right? Everything. Yeah,
there were other people in the room when I was having that conversation. Yeah, you turned me down nicely and said perhaps there will be another time when there's the right time. Mm-hmm. What is right about this time?
Long pause. Really long pause.
Well, so many things that were on the other side of a lot of life experience that's happened, and also that we have the ability to make our own choices in a way that I couldn't have said yes to you then. That wasn't my choice to make. So as an adult who lived a really independent life, to then go into this construct that is different than I think what people imagine it to be, it's really liberating to be able to have the right and the privilege in some ways to be able to say yes.
And to say it for yourself. And not to have to consult with anybody at this point.
Yeah, to be able to just make a choice on your own and just be able to speak for yourself.
Okay, so that's, thank you, Holly. That is a clip from the interview with Megan and Oprah. So far, I don't know all the clips that are out there, but I've only heard the two that involved Meghan herself, so I'm curious to hear what Harry has to say as well. This was like, again, I don't think we learned anything in this clip that we couldn't have probably figured out or assumed. So I find it interesting that she's willing to talk, and hopefully there's more behind those words in the full two-hour interview.
I feel like I did sort of, and I could be wrong, and I could be overthinking this, which are all possibilities. I felt like there was some sort of like indication that this plan had sort of been in place. Now, I probably am informed a little bit by what has transpired, but when she said that, what she said to Oprah was, when the time is right, when she turned down that initial interview because the people around her said no.
Yeah.
There's something about that feels like, okay, she knew something would change at some point.
Oh, that's entirely possible.
Conversation.
Yeah, or if she just thought, by the way, my chair just broke.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh, I hate it when that happens.
So or, weird. You know, literally, this chair just broke. Sorry about it. What were you going
to
say, Holly?
Oh, I was just going to say, Meghan Markle saying that speaks to the fact that perhaps after they got married and they got settled, maybe perhaps there would be an opportunity to talk to Oprah at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. Here's the other side of that coin, though, when I say, like, I didn't really learn much. But she also says a lot, but then she doesn't say a lot. What I mean by that is, she's like, you can kind of tell what she wants to say, right? When she talks about, well, it wasn't an advantageous time, but maybe now is the time where there's not as much barrier. Like, she's still speaking in code, and you have to, you know, because I think she still has some sense that she doesn't want to betray all of the truths that she knows. And I wonder how many more of those truths we're going to hear in this particular interview. And I'm hope, you know, like, again, from the curious side of me, I would love to just tell us, girl. It's okay. Nobody's listening. And, you know, just tell us everything.
But everything you just said actually is very relatable in the sense that you can leave the royal, but you can't leave the family.
Yeah.
Right. So like so they've left their positions as royals, but they're still, that's still their family. Mm-hmm. And so to be very careful about how you represent them publicly, because you know you're going to have to be sitting across the table at Christmas with them. I mean, there's something relatable about that.
Yeah.
If you are a person who's in a family that has any level of dysfunction, right? Like, you know how to tiptoe around what's really happening so that you don't upset the apple cart so much that you can't exist as a family.
Yeah. Well, anymore. Certainly that would burn a, you know, bridge that goes beyond their job, because essentially what they're trying to do is quit their job, but not the family. Mm-hmm. The problem is the right. family is the job. So that's where in the tension lies. And that's why I think this interest or this interview has some public interest, because, you know, it is a public facing career. And it's not every day that you get to hear what a working family actually looks and sounds like, especially when it's the only of its kind in the entire world. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Like, there is no other, like, I'm sorry, but the Dutch royal family is not having this Same. Experience. The Japanese royal family is not having this experience. Mm-hmm. Because there is no other royal family that arises to this level in being so visibly public, and also has an audience this large.
Yeah, and in America, we have a history with that royal family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So, like, we, you know, we care.
Yeah, and she's an American, and so, like, we're all in, right? Like, right. Tell us what it's like for an American to, you know, because every American allegedly, supposedly wants to be a princess. Most people would say girls, but there are a lot of little boys who probably want to be a princess, too, so I don't want to leave them out.
True, true. Many people want to be princess. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see on Sunday what we actually do learn, because I have a sneaking suspicion that we're going to do a lot of that skating up to the edge of something.
Oh, yeah. Well, just think of, like, her,
like, seeing the silhouettes behind the curtain, but never really seeing what's going on.
Like her Lindsay Lohan. I mean, any Oprah interview, right? Like, she can only get what she can get, and she's going to be grateful for whatever it is that she gets. And it'll be interesting and of note, and we'll all be watching. But because I think this clip sort of gives us the understanding that she's probably not going to do the thing that, A, she's being accused of unfairly by the British media of, like,
right.
trying to damage their family. Because, to your point, she is still in this family. So she's not,
right?
You know, if she, that doesn't make any sense, right? Yeah, exactly. She's a part of the family.
When we come back, the most important question you'll answer all day today. Would you rather have a private jet or a private yacht? 651-641-1071. We will take your calls for that very important question after this on My Talk 107.1.